We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From Illinois Public Media, this is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580, FM 90.9 HD2, and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in today. Licensed registered dietitian Susan Kundrat is with us today to talk about diet and nutrition. Listeners, you can join us with a telephone call or by email. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL, or you can join us by email. Our email address, will-talk@illinois.edu, WILL-talk@illinois.edu. Susan Kundrat is a sports and wellness nutritionist and president of Nutrition on the Move. She works with clients of all ages and athletes on enhancing health, fitness, and sports performance. She's an adjunct lecturer with the University of Illinois Food Science and Human Nutrition Department. She's also the consulting sports dietitian for Illini Athletics and leads nutrition and cooking classes at the Activities and Recreation Center on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You'll find her on the web at www.nutritiononthemove.net and www.rkteamnutrition.net. Questions about diet and nutrition, they are invited this afternoon. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, will-talk@illinois.edu. Good to see you again. Welcome back.
Good to see you. Thank you.
So today I thought, you thought actually, this was your suggestion, that we talk a little bit about snacking.
Yes.
And how that can be good for us. Also, though, there's a flip side to snacking. It depends on what you're snacking on and how big those snacks are.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, snacking is good. There's no question that with adding snacks in, you can boost your nutrition, total nutrition of your overall diet. And I guess that's one of the main things to think about with snacking is perhaps to ask yourself that question, does this enhance my diet? Is what I'm eating going to make my overall intake for the day be on a better row there? So I think when you think about snacking, that's a good thing to question yourself about. And then I think the other thing about snacking is making sure that what you're snacking on is satisfying so that you don't eat too much of it. Because, of course, a snack is good if it's a moderate portion, but it's also easy to eat a large portion of something. A good example might be, let's say if you like goldfish crackers. Goldfish mm-hmm. crackers are, you know, they're an okay snack. They're a fairly low-fat snack compared to some other ones. But if you ate a whole package of goldfish crackers, which is not really, you know, if you're not paying attention, you can eat a couple cups at least of goldfish crackers at one sitting, then you're probably getting too many calories and maybe too much fat and too much salt. So what you want to think about with a snack is I always look for two things. I look for a protein source mm-hmm. and a carbohydrate source. So if you made a list, for example, of different protein sources that you would like for a snack, we might come up with things like a handful of nuts, for example, particularly things like mixed nuts or walnuts or almonds or pistachios or some of those higher nutrient nuts. Or another protein source might be yogurt, which has protein and carbohydrates, actually, so it has both. Mm-hmm. Or a glass of milk, which is a good protein source, or a glass of soy milk, or even a couple slices of turkey. And so you'd think, well, those are good protein sources. Maybe beans are a good protein mm-hmm. source, even some canned refried beans. And then mix that with a carbohydrate. So, for example, if you had nuts or peanut butter, maybe you mix that with an apple or you mix that with a banana. So you put a little peanut butter on your banana. Now, that's a good snack because you have a protein and you have a carbohydrate, and it's going to be a lot more satisfying than necessarily eating the banana by itself. Or same thing if you look at maybe you have a tangerine, but you have a cheese stick with it. So then that really holds you over a little bit longer because the fat and the protein take a little bit longer to digest with the cheese stick. And so whereas you may find, gosh, people are always telling me, I ate a piece of fruit, but I just was hungry again, so I was looking for more things. I'm back to the pantry. And part of the reason we go back to the pantry is because we never got satisfied to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So adding a carbohydrate and a protein, another good example of a great snack would be couple ounces of roast beef or turkey or ham rolled up in a small tortilla. That's pretty satisfying because it's almost like a mini sandwich and you know you ate something. It's got mm-hmm. some energy in there. You could always throw a fruit in there too. And that way you can make sure that the snack is giving you a little bit more and staying with you, having some of that sticking power.
Okay. And if you're interested in snacking before or after exercise, we know that a snack can help give you a little fuel.
Right.
What's your advice there?
Right. No question about it. I mean, leading up to a practice, or let's say, for example, tomorrow I'm going to be at Uni High. So we're going to do some recovery snacks after practices at Uni High, after the afternoon practices. So one thing that we're doing when we put together some lists for those high school athletes is trying to say, well, what might you have before and after that would be easy and fast? So let's say, for example, before, right after you get out of school for high school kids or middle school kids, right after you get out of school, have something that's easy, pretty easy to digest, mm-hmm. but it's got to be portable because you have to have it with you. So that might be something like trail mix and a juice box, for example, where trail mix would have a little protein and fat in it, not too much. And juice box is quick carbohydrate because you want quick carb energy before a workout or before practice. So you might have that before. And then after, like a lot of our teams do here at the U of I, they have chocolate milk after. Well, chocolate milk is carbohydrate and protein, whey protein from milk. And if it's feasible to have that with you, of course, there's all kinds of flavored milk containers now that don't need to be refrigerated, or something like a Boost or a Carnation instant breakfast drink or something like that. If you want something portable that's liquid, that works well. Or some of the things we're going to be doing tomorrow night, we're going to be making smoothies. We're going to be having just fruit and yogurt and juice. So if you go home, you could whip that up really quickly mm-hmm. if you had that after practice or after a workout. Or even doing things like the quick wraps that you could keep in a lunchbox that stays relatively cool. So you could do things like a cheese stick with turkey around it, wrapped in a tortilla, and something like that again with a banana or an apple or grapes right after practice. If you're going on to something else, is great because it's a good recovery snack. It's easy. And the protein, what it does is it helps start to repair the tissue after exercise. And so protein's important there. Carbohydrate helps you get the energy back in the muscle that you burn. So you want both of those things. Just like we were talking about, a general snack is great to have protein and carb. That's what you particularly want for a recovery snack after exercise. It doesn't have to be a lot of calories, but you have to have some protein source and some carbohydrate source. So most of the energy bars and things that you'll see, you know, a common one might be a Clif bar or something like that. And that has protein, but it also has carbohydrate. So usually after a workout, we look for something that has at least double the carbohydrate in terms mm-hmm. of grams as protein. So mm-hmm. What I shoot for is I have a general guide of maybe 50 grams or so of carbohydrate, mm-hmm. 10 or 15, 20 grams of protein, because there's a lot of data to indicate 10 to 20 grams is kind of that magic number of protein after exercise to help prevent muscle breakdown. And so it doesn't have to be a lot. That would be, you know, 10 ounces of milk is 10 grams of protein. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot that you take in. But then you want extra carbohydrate because obviously what you've burned is your muscle carbohydrate mm-hmm. or your muscle energy. So you want to get that back in quickly. So if we can teach people when they exercise, they may or may not be exercising a really hard rate, but just surrounding your exercise with a little more energy, we probably feel better when we exercise. We feel like we can think more clearly. Our muscles work easily. And then try to find something with some fluids in it, too. That's why I really like those juice boxes before or after exercise, because it's not a lot of calories, but it's also fluid. We know if we take in more fluid, we tend to exercise better.
So this is probably good advice, too, before you sit down to do homework or you sit down to look at something that really takes your attention.
Exactly.
Is to have a hard-boiled egg and mm-hmm. a half a whole wheat English muffin.
Exactly.
Something like
exactly.
that.
Okay. You think about that And that came to light for a lot of parents last week, because last week was the big ISAT testing in the schools. And so we saw a lot of articles in the paper about what different schools are doing for breakfast and Are they letting kids bring more snacks to school? And are schools providing additional snacks? Well, in our community, you were seeing all those things happen. And part of that breakfast idea was to teach kids to have some protein at breakfast because it does make us concentrate a little bit better. So my take on all that is saying, hey, that's great during ISATs. We need to teach our kids to do that.
Every day.
Every day. Then they'll have easier time learning.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Registered dietitian Susan Kundrat is with us today. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with a phone call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. You could also join us with an email message to will-talk@illinois.edu. Let's take a call now from a listener waiting for us on a cell phone on line one. Hi.
Oh, hi. I'm having a problem with anemia from iron deficiency and bad absorption. So I have a bad reaction to the supplement. So I'm looking for the best foods, and juicing would be an option for me. But looking for the best nutrients to help with that.
Okay. Well, when iron is low, which is not that uncommon, unfortunately, certainly you may feel like your energy is low and you may not be able to process things appropriately. And if someone is exercising, often they can't exercise as long or hard as they normally would. So getting those iron stores back up is really, really important. What you want to do really is have some different iron sources that if you can eat heme iron or what we call animal iron sources, the iron in animal products tends to be better absorbed. And so you might hear of things like liver, which of course is very high, or liverwurst, Braunschweiger, things like that. Clams tend to be very high in iron. Hmm. So canned clams or fish in general is fairly good source of iron. And red meat in general too. So if you have sirloin or roast beef or even ham or pork loin or ground beef, those kinds of foods have the heme iron, which again is readily absorbable iron in them. And so using more of those foods, if you would normally eat those foods anyway, is really helpful. Because if you break those down and have those more often, I might have clients who always have chicken breast or turkey, and that's certainly fine, but the iron content's not nearly as high as roast beef or having, again, some lean red meat. And so that's very helpful. So that would be one category that I'd say right away, can you bump those up? Because that would be the best absorbed source of iron. And other foods that tend to be high in iron would be things like fortified cereal. So if you eat cereal anyway or would eat cereal or have it for a snack even, have 100% fortified cereal, Total or Raisin Bran or some of those that are 100% iron fortified, because that's...
Gluten intolerant.
So. Okay, so you would, you might look for ones that are rice-based cereals. Sometimes the supplement that they basically add in, it's almost like adding a multivitamin in those cereals, sometimes that doesn't bother someone who is bothered by other supplements like iron supplements, so you could try that and see. And sometimes it does bother you, so you might want to, check on that. But there are a lot of cereals that are oat-based cereals or corn-based cereals or rice-based cereals that are also fortified. And so that would be something to look at as your next thing, too. Other foods that we think of that are high would be beans and lentils and peas and things like that. Nuts, pumpkin seeds are extremely high in iron. So if you don't normally have pumpkin seeds, that might be something you would maybe try. And then the other thing I'd think about, too, is what you're having with it. Because we know that iron is better absorbed where vitamin C is present. And so that's where, for example, if you had iron-fortified cereal and you had a glass of orange juice with it, then you're going to absorb more of that iron because of the vitamin C in the orange juice. So in general, if at your meal you have a fruit or a vegetable and you have meat, then the iron in that meat will be better absorbed as well. Or there's iron-fortified grains of all kinds, bread, cereals, pastas, things like that. And if you have a red sauce with pasta, you absorb more of the iron out of that pasta itself. So just eating balanced and maybe bumping up the vitamin C, particularly with more tangerines and oranges and orange juice, strawberries, tomatoes, tomato sauce, kiwi, things like that, is a good idea, too, to boost those foods, because then you're going to absorb more of that iron as well.
Okay. Thank you very much.
There are some ideas for you. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Registered dietitian Susan Kundrat of Nutrition on the Move is with us this afternoon. Listeners, if you've got a question about diet, nutrition, give us a call. Susan will help. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. I was talking with somebody recently who actually had to go in and have an injection of some kind of an iron injection. Mm-hmm. Levels were so low. So that might be something to talk with your physician about.
Sure.
So is there a simple blood test, I would imagine, to test for that?
Right. There's some basic iron tests, and then often what they test also is ferritin, which is more the storage form of iron in the body. And, for example, when we track iron stores on our athletes, we always track ferritin, because even if you go in and would your hemoglobin and hematocrit, which are generally the ones that are tested, might be normal, if your iron stores are low, that can definitely show up, particularly if you're an endurance athlete. So let's say distance runners. We want to know what their ferritin level is in addition to all the other ways mm-hmm. we can check iron, because if ferritin's low, no matter what the other ones say, eventually they're probably going to have a problem with training. And they're, as we add mileage or as they train harder, they may have more trouble because they just can't draw on those iron stores. And so depending upon the type of athlete someone is, we want to see those stores quite a bit higher, especially if they're an endurance athlete.
Now, I've got another listener who was going to join us here momentarily. But since we started with snacking and you mentioned pumpkin seeds, are there things that you could take in during the day? An athlete, for example, or someone who's not an athlete and they need they want to increase the iron that they have. They need to do that. And if they do it throughout the day, it's probably a good idea because you would be getting it throughout the day instead of just, you know, in three
right.
meals, three big clumps. So besides pumpkin seeds, what could you snack on if you wanted to bump up your iron intake?
Well, one thing that works really well is jerky. Because people, if they like beef jerky or even turkey jerky or some of those lower fat jerkies, those are generally fairly high. But particularly beef jerky is very high in iron. So if you had that in an orange, let's say, that would be a perfect snack.
Okay.
Because then you've got high vitamin C, plus you've got the jerky. Or we were talking about just a little tortilla or something rolled up. So let's say if you had roast beef rolled up in a little tortilla or even roast beef and crackers. I always think about it like you see the little Lunchables. But if someone made their own Lunchables and they had
Triscuits or something,
yeah.
low-salt Triscuits? Okay.
Exactly. Maybe Triscuits and a little roast beef and maybe a small, maybe 4 or 6 ounce container of orange juice. That wouldn't be too many calories. It'd be a great snack, and you'd have the vitamin C, plus you'd have everything else taken care of. So, or even nuts and some dried fruit. Usually apricots or some of the others have a little vitamin C. So if you mix those together, then that's a good option as well.
Okay, let's take another call. A listener in Champaign on line one. Hello.
Hi. Back to your question about the loss of protein after intense exercise. My question is I do very high intense cycling or spinning, and I also do a lot of swimming. And I'm interested in the fact that you mentioned that much of this can destroy some of your protein. What would you suggest to eat if you have to carry it to the gym? I was thinking of the little cheese sticks. That would be good for protein renewal, but what could a person take for carbohydrate renewal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And I might say, too, that we're finding that young kids need to do this, middle-aged kids, older people when they're exercising, because protein needs generally, we think they're going to increase protein needs nationally as we get older, because uh-huh. it appears that that's an issue too. So be particularly important all through the lifespan to do this, even if someone's not training extremely hard. But especially in your case, if you're cycling and you're swimming too, you're doing several things, boy, you really need to do it. So if we get back to the question, Easy proteins, like you mentioned, a cheese stick would be great. Nuts would be great. Sunflower seeds, easy things like that that are portable would be wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And then the carbohydrate could be something as simple as a fruit cup. Maybe you take the fruit cups that you pop open and eat with a spoon.
Okay.
Or dried fruit works great, because only a quarter cup of dried fruit is about a serving. That's almost 100 calories. So
like prunes and
Sure, prunes, raisins, apricots, dried apples, dried pineapple, anything like that.
Excuse me, just about a half a cup?
About a quarter cup is about a serving. Yeah, so 4 or 5 tablespoons is, because it's so dense in calories, it gives you more carbohydrate.
Right.
And I really like the, we mentioned kind of the little juice boxes, or even they have the kids' juice boxes that are only 4 ounces, and for somebody who's still kind of watching weight, that gives you a little carbohydrate and fluid, but not too much.
But doesn't have too much sugar, does it?
No, that would be fine at that level, that's no problem.
Okay.
And then simple things like, again, crackers. I wouldn't buy the 100-calorie packs necessarily because they're so expensive.
Yeah.
But buy your own crackers, buy vanilla wafers, buy even ginger snaps and things like that that are low fat, high carb, and put maybe 6 or 8 of those in a little container or Ziploc, and there's your carbs.
Good idea. I didn't realize that you destroyed protein. I thought that by exercising you built up your muscles.
Well, you do. It's not that you destroy protein, but every time you exercise, your body's, you know, pulling the muscle tissue back and forth. And studies have indicated that if after exercise, if within a half an hour after that, if particularly if you're going an hour or longer, but any time you're exercising, you're causing some damage to the muscle. That's what makes it stronger. So what we know is that we have to have the nutrition in there after the damage has occurred to make it stronger. So that every time you exercise, you do indeed get stronger, like you're saying. You're building muscle.
Right.
But the nutrients have to be there, too. So
to help build it.
Yeah. It might be especially important for someone if they haven't had that much to eat during the day, or if they're exercising in the morning, or maybe their appetite is down so their total calories are down. You really want to make sure you're at least surrounding the workouts with fuel. Even when I have clients who are trying to lose weight, I don't want them to take that away from before and after exercise fuel. You can drop your calories other times during the day, but keep the workouts surrounded with energy, and that will help you feel better when you exercise too.
There are some compounds that you can buy, and it's beyond reach from my phone here. And if you take that with coenzyme Q10 right before you exercise, that's supposed to prepare you for the exercise. Do you concur with doing something of that nature before you exercise?
Well, I think it depends on what your goals are. There are different things out there. There are amino acids that are being looked at closely to perhaps be helpful before exercise, but there's not a lot of data to indicate that you can't get these things from food.
Yeah.
And so
these things are supposed, excuse me for interrupting you, this is supposedly to help you kick out more ATP.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if that was a
valid. Well, the supplement that's been looked at most closely for that is creatine, because creatine, is a supplement it's found actually naturally in food and in animal products, particularly flesh foods, so in red meat and fish. That's where you generally find creatine. And if your creatine stores are low and you took creatine as a supplement, you might exercise better in the short burst activity, like you're saying, ATP or quick energy that your muscles need. And so it kind of depends on, you know, the person. Are they really trying to build muscle? Are they trying to really train for something specifically? Can they get it in the diet? Can they not? There may be some extra benefit to creatine supplements for vegetarians because they're not getting the creatine naturally in food. But there's always, you know, creatine is a supplement that about half the studies or half the people in most of the studies, if they are creatine deficient and they're training hard enough, have found some benefit, and about half don't. So it appears that some people are responders and some people aren't.
Right.
So it's not something I do across the board, but you know, it is one other option. Usually, for most people, if they're well nourished, that's the key thing going into a workout.
Very good. I didn't realize that. I also would drink water, especially on the bicycle.
Yes.
I drink a whole quart throughout the entire 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And that's so helpful to stay hydrated. Your body works so much better. And then the other thing I would say is just when you are drinking that fluid, to make sure that you're also replacing salt. If you are sweating a lot, that you're having something relatively salty after you exercise or that evening for dinner, because anytime you sweat, you want to replace some sodium that you've lost as well.
Oh, very good. Oh, you're a gold mine of information. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Glad Susan could help you this afternoon. Next, we take a call from another listener in Champaign, this one waiting for us on line 2. Hi. Line two?
Yes, hi. I just had a quick question. You know, for somebody, you know, for a good, healthy heart diet, you know, and particularly if somebody did have some heart problems earlier, what would be your suggestions in food or even in other tablet forms or any medicines in terms of increasing the HDL, also decreasing the LDL, and possibly, you know, of looking closer at triglycerides and other things for a normal, you know, like good suggestions for a good way of eating?
Mm-hmm.
Anything in particular in food you would recommend? And also with that one, any suggestions for breakfast, lunch, or dinner that these things should be included?
Okay. Well, I think if you look at a heart-healthy diet that will increase the HDL, or the good cholesterol, decrease LDL, or bad cholesterol, and help moderate your other lipids in terms of having a good lipid profile for a heart-healthy diet, you know, we want to look at some key things. Make sure that you're having whole grains, because we know that B vitamins and the fiber in whole grains can help with lipids. We know that the more fruits and vegetables you eat in general can be helpful, because you get these extra antioxidants, you get extra fiber that may decrease the bad cholesterol. So kind of we have a base of trying to say, well, more whole grains, more fruits and vegetables, and eating meat is fine. It's just that it should be very lean and it shouldn't be a whole lot of it. So a chicken breast, for example, that's lean is fine, or lean pork loin, or lean red sirloin, red meat sirloin, if you have, and maybe a 3 or 4 ounce portion. But we also know that eating more fish is helpful. And so maybe 2 or 3 times a week you're replacing a red meat or chicken with fish. Maybe it's a salmon, or you're having tuna steak, or you're even having some shellfish. Shellfish originally was thought of as taboo on a heart-healthy diet because it is high in cholesterol, but it's not very high in saturated fat. So it can still work in the plan as well. And then other things that I always recommend are more beans and peas and lentils, because those have more gummy soluble fiber that has been shown to help decrease the bad cholesterol. And then more nuts and seeds, because nuts and seeds, particularly, again, walnuts, almonds, pistachios, maybe mixed nuts, those kinds of things are helpful in that it's good fat. So we think that that may play a role in decreasing the bad cholesterol. And it adds more fiber as well, which again, has a role in lowering lipids. And then the other thing I would think of is we think about red wine. We think about these antioxidants that are helpful in purple grape juice that may help with blood flow. And alcohol in general, if someone does drink, and they drink moderately, 1 or 2 drinks a day, has definitely been noted to increase HDL or increase the good cholesterol. So that can certainly be a part of your daily intake if you already do drink. And all those things really kind of form the base of a heart-healthy diet, and then monitoring your sodium intake and trying to be careful with not adding a lot of extra salt and keeping your sugar down a bit. And then, of course, the other thing we know of is if you're exercising daily, or hopefully daily or almost every day, where you're getting your heart rate up 3 or 4 times a week, you know, to a level where it's, you know, it's a little bit hard to exercise, but it's not too hard to talk, and doing that for 30 or 40 minutes or so, and making sure that you're keeping a good weight. All those things play into your lipids or your cholesterol levels and decrease your risk of heart disease. And so those would be kind of the cornerstones, a vegetarian sort of base diet. But if you eat meat, that's fine too, just smaller portions, leaner, more nuts, more seeds, more things like the Mediterranean diet. So if you read about the Mediterranean diet, you know, more good fats like olive oil and olives and things like that, we know to be helpful. It's kind of like taking if anyone knows about the Dean Ornish diet, which is the very low-fat, heart-healthy diet, and a whole nutrition and lifestyle plan of decreasing stress and meditating and exercising appropriately. I feel like if you took that Dean Ornish plan and then you just added more good fat to it, that's basically a great way to eat, because it's kind of, you know, sort of the Mediterranean type, but it's looking at all the other things diet-wise you can do.
Does that help?
Yeah, totally. Thank you. I just have another quick question for you. Also, you know, along with diet and everything, suppose if you're doing exercise or going not for vigorous but just a regular exercise that is required, any suggestions, like the previous caller earlier was, I think, into something training. But any suggestions of eating things before the exercise and after the exercise?
Well, yeah, I think like the last caller, it's so important to have a snack going into your exercise session and to have something, we think, ideally within 30 minutes of when you're done exercising. Now, if somebody's walking 30 minutes and they're hydrated and they have enough fluid, they're not going to burn enough calories that they need to worry so much about that. But if you are exercising vigorously, or particularly if you're exercising an hour or more, then you do want to pay extra attention to what you have. But again, even a piece of fruit with a few nuts, I always think that's such an easy snack because you've got the nuts taken care of with the good fat and the protein, and extra fruit is always helpful. So, and something like that is portable wherever you go. So that would be real simple to do before or after exercise. And just remembering how important it is to drink. She was talking about how she has a quart of water when she's on the in a cycling class. That's probably about right for what someone would typically lose. So she's right on it in terms of getting fluids as well as the nutrition. So that's helpful too.
And if nothing, even a banana is good enough, I guess.
Sure. I mean, a banana is great. And what would be even better is a banana with a little peanut butter on it. Or there are even these peanut butter squeeze packs now. They're one serving that you can buy in the grocery stores. And so you don't have to necessarily worry about having a big old jar of peanut butter, but you can get these single serving squeezables. So that helps too.
I see. Another quick question. Like in my case, you know, I mean, I had these things. I'm doing most of the things that we talked about. But also that I feel is, you know, for example, if I take a light breakfast in the morning, and if I take something at lunch, I do not know why, but somehow I feel that if I eat something, it kind of makes me a little, sleepy or drowsy, and I'm kind of very much tempted to have a cat nap. And if I do that, I feel great after that. If I don't, I feel, I feel bad or whatever. So this tendency of kind of falling asleep after eating something in lunch, I don't know, I feel it's physiological or whatever, but is there anything can be done about it, cut down on eating, or...
Yeah, we should probably all have a cat nap. That's one thing that in a lot of cultures they do, and there's reasons for that. So there's really, if you can do that, I think it's great. But the other thing at lunch is to maybe still eat light, not eat too much, and make sure you do have good protein at lunch. Because if you just have mostly carbohydrate, mostly breads and fruit and things like that, then you may find that that gives your blood sugar kind of a spike and then it kind of goes down after that. But having some protein and fat with your meal is a big help. So, again, if you have a sandwich, maybe make sure there's enough, two or three ounces at least of protein on there. And maybe you do slice a little avocado so you have some of that on there with good fat. And that might not be quite so, make you quite so drowsy, having some protein in there too.
But maybe like lentils?
Lentils would be great because they're a little bit longer-lasting carbohydrates, certainly have the protein.
Chickpeas,
yes. Great. So any of the beans and peas are, if we could eat more beans and peas, that would probably help just about 99% of the population, I think.
Well, thank you very, very much.
You're very, very welcome. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Susan Kundrat is with us this afternoon. Something that we've discovered at our house as we're trying to watch the cholesterol is that we have found that ground turkey and beans and tofu work beautifully in things that are, nicely spiced sauces.
Yes.
So if you've got tomato sauce and then you put in cumin, or you're going to make kind of a, something with some warmer spices like, or flavorings like ginger and garlic and orange zest and that kind of thing, you really don't miss the high-fat red meat.
Right, because you're getting so much flavor elsewhere.
Right.
That's fantastic. And
gold star for us.
The gold star, yeah. Okay. Very, very big gold star, especially with those, again, having more of those beans, because not only then have you replaced the protein, but you've boosted the soluble fiber at the same time.
Yeah. Let's take another call. This is a listener on line one, cell phone. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Just a general question about whether or not you recommend vitamins and supplements for otherwise healthy, active adults. And then a secondary piece of that is I've read that when people are actually on high-fiber diets, that can sometimes interfere with vitamin absorption. And I just wonder if you have any comments on that, and I'll take the answer off there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call.
Well, those are good questions. Personally, I think a good multivitamin for your age and gender is a great idea. For anybody. So if you're over 50 and you take a male formula over 50, just 100% one a day, I think that's great. There are all kinds of brands that you could take higher percentages of things if you wanted to. And certain vitamins and minerals, there's a big window of more that you could take. You know, you could take extra vitamin C and be fine. You could take some extra vitamin D and be fine as long as it's not too high. I mean, there are other things that you could do. Some of these nutrients we're especially concerned about getting enough of. But I would say if you haven't done so already, I would make sure you have just a good profile, medical profile. Get your lab work done. Make sure nothing is low. Because we've talked before on the show that vitamin D is commonly low in this part of the country because we just don't tend to get very much in. So before you'd supplement, I'd have that done. Ask your primary health care provider to do that. It can't pick up everything, but it might pick up some things that would be low. And then that will give you an idea of if you need extras. But I would definitely take 100% multivitamin with iron for women under 50 and without for women and men over 50. And then there are other things that we know are just really beneficial. If you don't eat much fish, most people will benefit, I believe, from a fish oil supplement. Because if you're not getting it in food, we know that in a lot of cases it's helpful. It's a blood thinner, so you have to look at other medications and things that you're on. But generally, 1 gram of a omega-3 fatty acid fish oil supplement, just one pill, is not necessarily enough to hurt anything. But always talk to your, again, physician or primary care provider when
and
you're doing
high
that.
Fiber?
Yes, and high fiber. The other thing with high fiber is it's true that if you get more fiber in, you may not absorb some nutrients as well. But usually the body adapts to that. And often if you're getting a high fiber diet, you're also getting more vitamin C and vitamin A and these other nutrients that you know, you're getting higher amounts of them to begin with because you're eating better. So as long as the fiber is coming primarily from food and not a fiber supplement, I wouldn't really be concerned about that because you're also, if you're eating a higher quality diet, you may not absorb quite as much of it because it's getting through a little faster, but you're still getting more of it to begin with.
I have a question for you that I was talking with an oceanographer mm-hmm. not all that long ago. And she said if you're looking to supplement those healthy things from the sea, omega-3s.
Mm-hmm.
She said, look for products that have been derived from seaweed. Maybe you could address that. Are there such products out there? Because fish oil is what comes immediately mm-hmm. to mind. But she said, you know, go gentler on the oceans, please.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She said seaweed.
Yeah. There are. That's a really good point. And a really another thing to think about is where these supplements are kind of coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. And having more, you know, green algae, for example, is a very high nutrient compound. And so having supplements that are maybe some of these that you could get vegan or vegetarian-based supplements,
yeah.
which you can,
okay.
Are great ideas. Yeah.
Okay. Let's take another call. This is a listener in Chicago on line 4. Hi.
Thank you. Commenting upon what you just spoke about fish oil, I just heard that some concern was about the purity of the fish oil and coming into question as to the healthiness. So that was an item in the news just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding the other person's call about being drowsy, many aged people have felt that after they eat, they get sleepy. And I think that's due to the body's circulatory system sending more blood to the digestive process. And thereby, the brain and all that is not at its optimum. Thereby, you feel sleepy. But getting back to two points I wanted to ask about, Francis Lappé in the Diet for the Small Planet Earth long ago said that combining your food so that you get the optimum amino acids for the nutritional digestion is necessary. But the timing seemed to come into question as to. Well, if I eat certain foods and I don't have all the amino acids necessary, can I eat other foods later that would complement the early ones so that I do get the nutritional factors that are necessary for the body? Could you comment on that? And I have another question.
Yeah, well, when you're thinking about combining foods to get the amino acids, the building blocks of protein, it did used to be common thought that we should eat those foods together at one meal. So, for example, have beans and rice because they complement each other in terms of the amino acids. And generally, people do that naturally. Things that we would typically eat, peanut butter sandwich, would give you those combinations. So that's pretty typically how we do eat anyway. But if you don't get those in at every meal, now we really counsel that if it's in a 24-hour period and you're getting different amino acids, your pools are probably going to be fine in terms of building protein or repairing tissue. So it doesn't necessarily have to be at the same meal, but as long as your diet is varied enough over time that you're getting a lot of different foods and you're not missing any amino acids, then that's really what we shoot for.
Some question recently about regulating nutritional supplements. I think Senator McCain and some others have been promoted to endorse a regulation on the use of nutritional supplements. Have you heard anything more about if this is going through, or do you think it's going to happen?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I know that that's been a an issue out there and a concern. And I think, I think I would just say professionally from my standpoint, I hope we can find a way where, we can continue to have options of the supplements that people use and need, and also that people can feel comfortable that what they're getting is really high quality supplements.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Whew. And let's take one last call this afternoon. Urbana, line one. Hi. Line one?
Yes. Hello?
Hi. Go ahead.
Yes. Thanks for the program. I had one comment and one question. Well, both of them are sort of questions. Along the lines of the being easy on the oceans, I've read that flaxseed oil and hemp oil are actually better sources of omega-3 and 4. If you could sort of flesh that out a little bit. And the other question would be, how expensive is it to get the, you were talking earlier, I'm a vegetarian, I would like to get my lab work done and to know, you know, what all is going on there. How much does that generally cost with your primary care? I'm assuming that's not covered on most insurance plans, and I'll take the answers offline. Thank you.
Okay. I would think during your yearly physical, if you've got that covered, that they do blood work, right?
Yeah. So generally that can be just covered with the yearly physical. They don't always do the blood work, but generally I think they can if you ask for it. I know when I just asked for additional vitamin D to be tested because it hadn't been tested, mm-hmm. there was no additional fee to me for that. So so I would just ask for that. Now, again, not everything's going to show up in blood work and but it would be a good start. But I would think once a year.
You get your cholesterol looked at. You get your iron looked at.
Mm-hmm. And you can do the blood sugar, and they can do the general electrolytes and other nutrients as well at that time. And to answer the other question, flaxseed oil, hemp oil, those are great, also very good natural sources of omega-3s too. The different fatty acid or the fatty acid combinations and in the different oils like this are not quite the same as what you'd get in omega-3 from fish, but they are also going to be very high quality. Some of the concern has been that a lot of these studies are actually on fish oil, and because the omega-3 is a little bit different than what you'd find, for example, in flaxseed oil, some people say, well, would you have to take more flaxseed oil, or is it going to give the same benefit or be a little bit different? We know it's going to be beneficial. It may not be quite the same as from fish oil, but certainly it's going to be a good source too. So a lot of people have gone to that as well as a way, or just using more things like ground flaxseed in and adding that into foods is a great way to get more omega-3s. That's a vegetarian source or a plant-based source.
Okay, very good. And before we wrap up, I wanted to mention that Susan brought a couple of things with her today that we're happy to share with you listeners. If you just drop us a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Afternoon Magazine, 300 North Goodwin Avenue, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. From Campus Rec, she brought a couple of recipes that they're using at the ARC, broccoli with toasted garlic and an orange dream. Okay. And also another handout, Illini Fuel Stop, chicken chili and vegetarian chili. Four good recipes this month that Susan has shared with us. So, again, 300 North Goodwin Avenue, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. And then I wanted to mention that coming in April, Susan will be joining us at some point on Focus, as the 1 o'clock hour of the Afternoon Magazine is going to evaporate And Terry Gross and Fresh Air will be here in the 1 o'clock hour of the program. But Susan has agreed that she'd love to keep doing the program or a program, and so focus is our option, and so we'll get that ironed out. And as soon as we know when she'll be in the schedule, we'll pass that information on to you. Let me tell you once again that Susan Kundrat is a sports and wellness nutritionist and president of Nutrition on the Move. She's a consulting sports dietitian for Illini Athletics and leads nutrition and cooking classes at the Activities and Recreation Center on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. And she is also the author of 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. So come someday next month in April. We'll see you in the morning.
We'll look forward to seeing you then.
Okay. Thanks so much, Susan. Mm-hmm.
WILL programming is made possible by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store, featuring locally grown and organic produce, freshly baked breads, a coffee bar, and bulk foods department. Strawberry Fields also offers natural vitamins, health and beauty products, household cleaning products, pet foods, and an in-store nutritionist to answer questions about healthy eating.